Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back. I am jumping out of my skin, excited to have the awesome, the one and only JJ Virgin with us today. JJ, welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast.
I'm so excited. We actually even got this started to be recorded.
I mean, can you believe it? You guys, so what that means is we've been chatting for almost 30 minutes, just like, oh my gosh, this is great. You know this person and So yes, I feel like I just made a new friend and I can't wait to bring you my friend JJ to this podcast. So for those of you who, as I said to her, might be hiding under a rock or just kind of, you know, have been buried in your house and you don't know who she is a freaking rock star, triple board certified nutrition expert, fitness hall of famer, launched 3 multi-million dollar businesses, founded the Mindshare Collaborative, prominent TV and media personality. She shares the stage with Tony Robbins. You all know I love Tony Robbins, Seth Godin, Gary Vaynerchuk. She's the author of 4 New York Times bestsellers. I could go on and on and on. JJ, tell us your story.
Where do you want to start, my friend?
How did you get into this?
I've been obsessed with nutrition and fitness since I was a little kid. I kid you not. Like, I grew up outside of Berkeley, California. That's where it was kind of like the original farm to table. However, my mother was from Illinois.
Oh, my God.
She's a total Midwesterner. So my mother got me into dance class. I was into acting. I wanted to be a stage, you know, musical theater actress. And my mother would make those casseroles that I blame on the Midwest with, you know, she would put the jerky onions and the Campbell's soup. And at 12
cream
years
mushroom,
old,
the can.
Oh, horrible stuff. Mushroom. And I was raised on Pop-Tarts. My nickname was Poppy. And at 12 years old, I rebelled. I started going to the library, everything I could find on nutrition, studying. I was counting calories and trying to have, like, I saw my body as the instrument, right? I was dancing and singing. And I started watching every single thing and doing all these calisthenics. What did we have back then? We didn't even have jazzercise yet. So I was studying all of that. And that's when I got into all of this. And honestly, I was teaching dance class growing up. I was teaching calisthenics. I went off to college on a theater scholarship. And I came back one summer, worked at KQED in San Francisco, which was funny because that's where I ended up doing my first PBS show out of. But I went and started teaching at Richard Simmons Anatomy Asylum.
Asylum.
Uh-huh. And then I came back to UCLA. And there was an aerobic studio down the street, and I started teaching there. And someone called and wanted private aerobics lessons at their house. So I went over there, and I think that was kind of like the birth of personal training. And it was me, Body by Jake, and Mark Sisson, who I'm still close buddies with. Mark Sisson, like 30 years later, 40.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, 40 years later.
Yeah,
I know, it's crazy. So I mean, it just, when you look at it, I was working in aerobics, running aerobics studios. And that was the time of, like, remember the movie Perfect? And aerobics teachers were like celebrities. And I went to Japan and taught aerobics. And, you know, that was in personal trained. And then I got dropped out of a PhD program in exercise science because I ran out of classes to take. I was at USC taking classes in the dental school. So I started studying nutrition and I jumped over to functional medicine. And, you know, I've been studying ever since, because there's just, you can never keep up with all of the research on all of this. But I gotta tell you, I am more excited about what's going on in the world of nutrition and exercise than I've ever been. Like, I'm more fired up about it now. And I turned 60 this year, and
I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
I was like going, okay, the studies show that if you have a positive mindset about aging, you have 7.5 more years of quality life. And I'm like, well, that's easy. Okay. I thought, what if you could be in the best shape, feel the best, have the best everything at 60 plus? So that's what I made a decision I was going to do. And I literally am. I'm in the best shape of my life at 60. And I've always been in good shape. So it wasn't like I was, you know, like dropped 100 pounds to be here. But I've now put together like the what I call the Powerful Aging Program. Can I swear on this show?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, yeah, I did TV for so many years. I was so used to never saying anything because I'd get in trouble. And
I know.
I'll say something. They're like, she said, fuck. Oh, my God. But, you know, it really is this idea of fuck aging gracefully. Like, you know, and if you've been playing by the rules all these time and you've been trying to be the good, like, fuck it. You know, okay. This is the time to age powerfully and age powerfully with your health, how you show up, what you want to go for. Like, if not now, when? Right.
If not now, when? Fuck it. I'm with you. So, and for those of you who are just listening to this podcast versus watching it on YouTube, if you look at JJ's arms, I mean, it's like every line.
Yeah. So, I mean, look
guns
at that.
Guns out. Like, she's hashtag goals. So.
Not bad for a 60-year-old who's not taking. And this is just a lesson to women who are like, I don't want to get big. I want to be toned. I go, what is toned? There is no such thing as toned. You get toned by building muscle. Muscle is metabolic Spanx. It holds everything in tighter. It boosts your metabolism. It's a sponge that gives sugar a place to land that's not on your belly, right? And it's an endocrine organ that's really powerful in making sure that you're great at balancing your hormones. It helps you go weight train. You're going to have better testosterone levels. Like, it's everything. And so if you, your whole life, have been afraid to lift weights because you're afraid to get big, get over it. Because in 40 years of working with men and women, helping them with their diet and exercise, I have never seen someone get big lifting weights. I've seen someone get big eating, you know, ultra processed foods and sitting on the couch.
I love Pop-Tarts.
I was raised on Pop-Tarts, but you know what? I don't know if you've tried them as an adult.
Not recently. I was pregnant, you know, I craved them. Strawberry frosted Pop-Tarts was the last trimester of my daughter's pregnancy. And that might explain a lot of her wacko-ness. Jaden, right, I love you if you're listening.
Mine was chili cheese anything, but that's a whole other thing. Yeah, chili cheese.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I love aging powerfully and F this. So, you know, an adage that I hear a lot about today is you can't outrun a bad diet. Talk to us about aging powerfully, and there's keto and there's high fat, low fat, vegan. Like, what can you simplify this for us?
I totally can. And here's the thing. Bigger concept. I used to say that too, because early on, you know, I started first in exercise science. And so all I was doing, and back then people were like, okay, I want to work out and I want to lose weight, but I don't want to change my diet. You want to lose weight, the fastest thing is to use the right diet, diets or tools. Choose wisely, grasshopper, right? But if you want to look better naked, and I assume if you're listening to this, if you're a smart dater, at some point you're going to be naked. So probably this is important, right?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Okay. So then, you know, hey, body composition is really important. So again, diets are tools. And so what should you be eating? Why? What, et cetera. And exercise, while diet's going to make the biggest difference really helping you lose the weight, exercise is critical to make sure that the weight you lose is fat, not muscle, and that you are building that muscle that will allow you to maintain that fat loss. Because if you lose weight, but a lot of that weight's muscle, you will create something called metabolic adaptation, where you're now, your metabolism is going to naturally go slower when you lose weight, because part of it's based on your total body weight. So, you know, it's going to downshift, but it shouldn't downshift more than that. And you see that happen, like it happened with the Biggest Losers. When they did that study, they had a metabolic adaptation where their calories needs were 500 calories less than they should have been. So all of a sudden you are now chronically having to undereat and you're hungry, which we know that's not going to work. So step one, if someone's going, all right, I want to change, I'd like to lose weight, the first thing that I would say is, You actually don't want to lose weight. We've done a huge disservice for years and years and years by talking about weight loss rather than body composition improvement. Because if you lose weight, but you're losing muscle and fat, and you're losing your, you know, weight, but not losing your waist, you're making yourself worse, not better. So your very first step is to first figure out what is going on with your body composition. How much of your body is fat mass? How much is fat-free mass? Where is that fat actually located? Because having fat on your thighs and butt, while you might not like it, isn't as dangerous as having fat around your organs called visceral adipose tissue, mm-hmm. right? And then how much muscle mass do you have? And literally, if you're 40 plus, your biggest goal should be to pack on as much muscle as you possibly can. And it is hard to do. If you are able to put on a pound of muscle a month, that's a lot at this point. So you're not going to be packing on tons of muscle. And when you do, and I find this so much for women, we actually tend to get smaller as we add muscle, both because it's going to hold everything in tighter, right? It's metabolic Spanx, holds everything in tighter, boosts your metabolism. It's also acts as a sugar sponge by when you're eating the carbs, they go into your muscles where they can be stored so that the next time you work out, we have that fast energy resource available. And they also act as an endocrine organ, a hormonal organ to help us become more insulin sensitive, which is mission critical for you to be able to burn fat. You also create this better mitochondrial health. That's the powerhouses in the cell, really important in your muscles, where you now have created more of something called uncoupling protein that allows your body to burn more fat. And so the real thing we want to know first is how much my body's fat, how much my body is lean body mass, of which the thing I can change there is muscle. And then based on that, you set a game plan. And that game plan, the first piece of it, and by the way, if all you did was this one piece, if you listen to nothing else, because I actually had a gal do this. She was like, I did 25% of what you told me to do and I lost 25 pounds. Now I'm ready to really do stuff. I'm like, all right.
That's amazing.
This one gal, she goes, okay, I just did. Now this is a gal who's probably got about 80 to 100 pounds to lose. So she can lose a higher percentage, right? She's going to lose fat and lean tissue to start with. But she goes, okay, I did just what you told me to do, just with the protein. And she goes, I just lost 10 pounds, 12 days. Now, generally, we're going to want to lose about 2 pounds a week. If you've got a little lean mass because you're obese, it'll be a little bit higher. But fat mass, you probably can lose about 2 pounds. And so we say about, 1% of your target body weight or total body weight is what you'd want to lose a week. Here's how you do it. If this is just one thing, and I love to give very simple things that I know you can accomplish that will have, they're the little hinges that swing the big doors. It is this line, eat protein first. So I created a protein calculator to help you figure out how much protein you really need. It's 0.7 to 1 gram per pound of target body weight. And that range varies based on different things going on. But if you were going to err towards the 1 gram per pound of target body weight, that's the weight you feel good at. And then you make sure that at each meal, especially you're breaking the fast meal and your last meal of the day, that you're getting in at least 30 grams of protein. And I'd say more like 40 to 50 grams. And then you're getting at least 100 grams or more overall. But if you're like, let's say you want to weigh 150 pounds. So, you're getting 50, 50, 50, right? Between your three meals. Doesn't have to be an even split. You can weight it heavier at the beginning and end, but that's all you do. And if all you did to start with was eat protein first, take the calories that you were eating, keep your calories all the same, but eat protein, replace some fat or carbs, you will lose weight just doing that. But what will also tend to happen is you'll start to eat less. Protein's the most satiating macronutrient. It also helps with cravings, so it's satiating and satisfying, but it also has a much higher thermic effect, because when we look at our metabolism, we have our metabolism at rest is based on how much muscle we have, our age, our sex, our genetics, our thyroid. But then during the day, we increase our metabolism based on our activity, which is either non-exercise activity or exercise, plus thermic effect of food. Protein can take up to 25% of the calories that you eat to be used in the digestion and assimilation of that. Contrast that with fat, which is close to zero, and carbohydrates, which is like 5 to 10%. So if all you did was shift over to protein, you're going to lose weight and you're going to feel more satiated and you're going to feel more satisfied and your blood sugar is going to be nice and stable too.
I love that because so many people right now are talking about fat being the most satiating thing to eat, but it's hard for me to think about eating 75% calories from fat.
Well, you don't have to be, you know,
with cardiac disease in my family, yeah, up and
there's
down.
There's the keto diet.
Yeah.
And the whole premise is, okay, let's get into ketosis so your body can burn fat. Well, if you can get fat on a keto diet, because if you have too many calories, you'll be burning fat, but you'll be burning fat that you're eating, not fat that you're wearing. You have to go into a caloric deficit in order for your body to have to use stored body fat for fuel. If you've got more calories than your body needs, your body's not going to go, oh, you know what? Forget that coconut oil that you just ate. I think we'll burn off your belly fat instead. No, no, no.
Preferentially,
it's got to use the excess first. So, you know, one of the things that keto can work well with is quickly restoring insulin sensitivity. It's great for satiety, but it's not necessary for you to be in ketosis in order for you to lose fat. It's necessary for you to be in caloric deficit to do that. But to be in caloric deficit, you got to not be hungry, because if you're in caloric deficit and hungry, you might be able to white knuckle that for a couple of days.
Game over.
But not much longer than that. So the first thing I have people do is use an app. There's an app called Chronometer, and I'll give you links that you can include for all these things. It's free. And the first thing I have people do is just for a week, actually track what you eat. You know, the average person underrepresents what they eat by anywhere from 25 to 40%. So all you have to do is first just track what you eat. And I will tell you, you know, I've been in this field now for what, like almost 40 years. And I was underestimating. I was like, because I wasn't like, oh, olive oil, it's good for you, right? Too much healthy food's unhealthy. So the first thing you do is just track what you eat. Next thing you do is eat protein first and get your right amounts up. So 1 week of just audit, next week you're focusing on eating protein first. Now it might take you weeks to get your protein dialed in. I have people go, I can't eat that much protein. I go, well, you could eat that much pasta. So just switch. You know, it's like, I hear that all the time. Oh, I can't eat 30 grams of protein. I'm like, are you kidding me?
It's like a chicken breast that's this big.
Yeah, it's like, what, 4 or 5 ounces of chicken. You can do that, man. You
it's
know,
easy.
It's like, go sit down. But it's because you ate a big, you know, a big bunch of the bread basket. And then you started digging into your potatoes. And then you went, oh, I'm full. I'm like, no, just eat the protein first. Don't eat the other stuff. And then you can eat the other stuff if you're hungry. So basically, like, what my diet looks like is I eat my protein. I have non-starchy vegetables. I eat a little bit, two pieces of fruit a day, usually berries, and then some healthy fats, because most of your protein sources like salmon or wild salmon, grass or beef have some fat in it. And I'll use a little olive oil on veggies, and I watch how much I do, because it's easy to be a piggy, right? You know, all of a sudden, it is, we went to Italy last summer.
I love you.
And, I just done a podcast with Stephen Gundry about polyphenols and olive oil. I'm like, oh, we're going to Italy. And I'm like pouring it on. And, you know, we've sat at one restaurant one night, and I go, we ate the entire bottle of olive oil, in a dinner.
A lot.
I mean, that's ridiculous, you know,
and thousands of calories.
Yeah. We don't need that, you know? So when I start to really work on, after we've gotten to that point, I want people doing resistance training. That's another cool thing. If all you did was take some of your activity each week and shift it off of your walking, Pilates, yoga, and over to resistance training, you will see a metabolic effect, because now you're going to start to build muscle. And muscle is the most important thing. It is like having a really good savings bond with a high interest rate, right?
Yes. And it's fun. I've recently started resistance training, you guys. I think I've talked about having a trainer, and it is the best couple of hours of my week. I walk into a gym, and maybe you're going to do this on your own. Maybe you won't have a trainer, whatever it is. But if you can, it's my 1 hour of personal time where I'm not the boss. Someone's telling me what to do. And I'm like, okay, I'll do 12 more of those. It's amazing. And it's fun. And there's balls and there's ropes and there's punching. And it's a different workout because I am a cardio beast. I will run, I will Peloton, I will elliptical because I too was a child of the aerobics and, you know,
leg
cardio,
warmers.
Cardio era.
Yeah. Leg warmers and those horrendous
20-minute workout,
the horrible thong leotards that I don't know who created that look, but I'm glad that looks died.
Oh my God.
That was the thing.
I used to wake up as a kid at 5:30 to do the 20-minute workout. Do you remember that with those three women?
No.
And they'd be
because
like,
I was usually
more
teaching
more.
The workout.
So. Yeah. Gosh. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I pretty much move people to resistance training and high intensity interval training and then be as active as you possibly can. Walk as much as you possibly can. That is not exercise unless you're really out of shape, in which case let's get that not to be exercise as quickly as possible. You obviously want to be super active. Like, don't think you can work out 30 minutes a day and sit on your butt the rest of the time and be fine. No. But the big needle movers are going to be resistance training and high intensity interval training. So you do one of those every single day. And it is fun, isn't it? Throwing those weights around. I love the guys that come up at the gym and they want to high five me and they're like, that's a lot of weight for a girl. I'm like, dude, that's a lot of weight. It's just
period.
A lot of weight. Period. Hands down. Want to arm wrestle? Do you know who Mike Michalowicz is?
I don't.
Profit First. Great. Like, amazing guy. So he wrote the book Profit First. You should listen to it on audio. It's hilarious. But I went and spoke at his conference because, you know, accountants totally need to hear about nutrition. And he calls me up, dude, come speak at my conference. I'm like, okay, I love dude. It when guys call me dude.
I love that.
And so
it means you're so cool.
It's so I'm up there speaking. He goes, wow, I didn't realize it was going to be a gun show. And like I haven't heard that before either. And I go, really, you want to arm wrestle? And he goes, you want to arm wrestle? And I'm like, I will totally arm wrestle you, but you realize like this is not going to, there's no good ending for you. So we're up there arm wrestling and it's actually fairly even. And it's pretty funny. And I go, okay, we're
That's
just going to walk away because if I beat you, it's going to be humiliating. But if you beat me, you look like a jerk. So let's just call it right now. Now that we've been struggling for 5 minutes, we're red in the face doing this. You know,
oh
it was probably
God.
2 minutes, but it was pretty funny.
Felt like 100.
But it is fun. And you know, I think that speaks to a bigger thing of like, why is it we as women, and I mean, I was raised this way. My mom would be like, don't speak up at the restaurant and don't make waves. And you just don't, you know, you don't want to build that muscle. Like that. I was like, oh my goodness, you know, don't be too strong. Don't be too, you know, and I'm like, yes, you know what? Be strong, be powerful, show up, stand up. Like, this is our time to do this. And I will tell you early on, I used to train a lot of couples, which was its own hell. In fact, maybe couples should work out together before they get married. It would be a great thing. But one couple, I got her in such
I'm
good shape.
Think about that.
She was amazing. She was like lean and fit and ripped. And her husband convinced her she had to quit. He was so threatened.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. No. That's not okay.
I'll tell you. When, I know. I'm so happy now. And when I was online dating, first of all, it was so funny because, you know, the little checkbox of athletic and toned or whatever ridiculous thing. And I go to meet the person. I'm like, I'm sorry, but this is not athletic and toned, dude. Like every guy would say he was athletic and toned, right? And then they'd sit down and go, oh, I'm going to get in really good shape with you. I'm like, yeah, no, you want to hire me? Because that's a different thing. Like,
right, exactly.
You did not just get in your own nutritionist and trainer on this. But it is
so funny.
Fun to have, like, my husband is so on board with all of this. And he literally is in the best shape. Like, he has never looked like what he looks like right now. He is 59. I go, have you ever looked like this? Like, he is ripped. He is like amazing. And I go, see, I'm such a secure woman because I've just made this really great, amazing, you know, guy into a, he is like.
An Adonis.
He is an Adonis. Like, people are like, you know, he looks like Ryan Reynolds. I'm like, you know.
Oh my God.
He's really hot. Yes.
Well, speaking of really hot and your husband, JJ, how did you meet? Tell us your love story. I know
yes.
you were married, had a divorce. Give us you.
I was married and had a, I was married once and had a divorce that didn't count because I didn't count the first one.
The mulligan.
Young.
The do-over.
Yes. So then I got really married at 32, had two babies, and then got divorced, and then went through just a series of ridiculous, you know, I was on Match, I was on Millionaire Match, I was making really bad choices. And at one point, my girlfriend said, I think we're going to do an intervention. And then I thought, you know, this is ridiculous. I'm successful in business. If I can be successful in business, I need to actually approach this like a business. Like, I'm not approaching it like a business. And I'm in marketing. So I thought, this is dumb. Why am I half-assing it over here when this is the most important thing that I could possibly be doing besides being a mom, right? So I completely, like, shifted gears. I actually made a profile that was polarizing. And I thought, you know what? I want to weed out the weak. I want to weed out the people that were, you know, it's what Marie Forleo calls repellent marketing. I want the people that would not be right. I don't want them. I want the person that goes, why not me? Game on, right? So I write this profile like that. I get super clear on what I want. I did some Allison Armstrong work. I got very clear on what I wanted and what I wanted to give and all that. It was all in there, all down to the color code, what my color code personality was, what my Colby scores were, everything, my love languages, et cetera. And then I brought in my girlfriend, one of my best girlfriends who runs the Unicorn Club with me. And she, like, I whittled it down to three and she picked Tim. And then I remember what Allison Armstrong said is like, don't pick the one that you're like crazy all over at the first. So we go out on our first date and I'm like,
okay.
He's just okay.
I love okay. Like, you know that, smart daters. That's music to my ears.
It was like, I was like, you know, I'll give him another shot. So the next, so that was Thursday, Saturday, he invites me out and I said, can I bring some friends?
Oh my God.
I brought the board with me and I said, listen, grill him. I think he might be a little too straight laced for me. Like, I don't think he's like edgy enough. Cause I was like, I like sexy, edgy, fun, like sexy, edgy boy next door, man next door, right? Like super athletic. That's what I wanted. And I wanted an entrepreneur and he was a sales guy. He'd been working in healthcare sales his entire career, but he was very entrepreneurial, but I was still like, I don't know if he's going to get me. Anyway, we go out on this date with all my friends and we had the best time and they're like, we like him, you know? So then I had him the next day meet me where I was speaking because I thought if he can take this, where he's going to be called Mr. Virgin, get handed business cards, people try. And he totally did not faze him whatsoever. Didn't faze him. He was like, thought that was great. So, you know, I just, and then we went out to lunch that day and he goes, well, tell me about you. I go, okay. And I proceeded to tell him every challenging thing that every guy had ever been frustrated with me about, how much I work and the fact that like my ex-husband lives down the street in the house I pay for and I take care of him and he takes, you know, and all like blah, 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 blah. And he goes, that is not working. I know what you're trying to do.
Oh my gosh. You're like, I'm repellent marketing in a different way. Right.
I just didn't want to hear like 6 months down the road. I literally had one guy tell me, fella, I don't like ambitious. I don't do well with ambitious women. And I'm like, well, why the hell did you even like, why would you have even approached me? You know, another one was like, well, how am I going to take you to Europe if you're working so much? And I'm like, who said I was going to Europe with you, dude? I'm not even sure if I'm going to go to dinner with you, you know?
And I might take you.
Yeah. So listen, dude. Anyway, so I was like, I'm just going to throw this all out here now so that I don't have to deal, like get into this for months, waste time. And then all of a sudden I get this, you're ambitious. So it didn't work at all. And we've been together ever since. Like inseparable.
I love it.
And I was always like the person who thought, you know what, I'm going to get married and I want my husband to live like in another house down the street or maybe in another town. And I would always date guys that were like 2 hours away. And I thought it was just perfect. And all of a sudden I meet him and I don't want to be away from him at all. Like we've hardly been away from each other. And when we are away from each other, like, you know, I think we've been away from each other for a couple of days, like maybe a couple of times. And it's been 8 years. Like I just never want to be away from him. And we just, it's just easy. And like, he makes me a better person. I was talking about it the other day. I go, I'm getting ready for a big quantum year and I couldn't have done that, but I know I have this totally safe, you know, like strong, you know, he is just holding so much for me that I can pull all this stuff off. And now he's co-CEO of one of my companies. And it's just amazing. Like, it's amazing. And I think the biggest lesson learned there is, like, the best thing about online dating, there's so much great stuff about online dating, but the big thing is you get to know if someone's right in the things that you really need and you want to give before you go and check if you've got that, you know, like, do I want to have sex with them situation, right? Normally you're out at a bar yeah. where you meet someone, and I'm not going to meet someone at a bar because I'm not at a bar, like, or at the gym or whatever. And you just kind of assess them first with like, oh, they're hot, you know, without, and you kind of move forward on the, based on the, oh, they're hot, without any kind of like, do I like their personality?
No due diligence, zero right. due diligence.
Right. So now, like, online dating is great because you do your due diligence before you do that check. And, you know, and I loved what Alison Armstrong said. She's like, if you're like over them when you meet them, like, that's not the right person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's so right. Cause that's like, that's like there and gone in a minute.
Do you know why that is? I can dig a little deeper into that. A lot of times.
I'd love to know why.
Instant chemistry, JJ, is familiarity. And your ex is an ex for a reason. So sometimes when we're like, oh my God, this is like, it was so easy. I felt like we've known each other for so long. The chemistry was awesome. It's like, you have known him for a long time. That was your ex and your ex and your ex. So that's why when we feel that instantaneous chemistry, we're not looking for that. So smart dating.
Wow.
Okay. Is great, right? Good relationships can be like a good bottle of wine. You'd uncork a bottle of wine 30 to 60 minutes before you wanted to drink it to let it breathe. But with relationships, we want this wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, hit me over the head. And that's kind of the lore that Hollywood and Harlequin has sold to us. But
yes.
Really, at the end of the day, what makes for an amazing marriage, I've been married 26 years, is a true deep friendship with somebody who elevates you, your elevator person, like we were talking about.
Yes, and he's my elevator person, and I'm his elevator person. So
that's amazing.
Amazing. Yeah, it's really amazing.
There's so much hope. And look, and you met him when you were over 50?
I met him at 52.
Amazing.
What is it, what they say? What is those ridiculous statistics? I'm like, why do people mention this stuff? I think that the greatest time to find your soulmate is when you're in your 50s, because the guy's gone through the tunnel. You know what you're getting, right? You know your values. You know, like, you've got everything's established. You check in, you know, you've chosen your friends. So you see how all that fits together. It's fantastic. It's like perfect. It's too bad we can't just somehow fast forward, pick our partner in our 50s and slide back down and start in our, you know, but I mean, the chance, what are the chances? Like, you're probably a unicorn in more ways than one, but the chance that I could have found my life partner in my 20s when I couldn't even pick out my own cat well, I mean, you know, come on, you know, it's like, I had trouble picking out, like, I couldn't, but seriously, like, when people say, are you going to have kids when you're 20s? I go, I can't take care of the cat, you know?
So a plant, like,
yeah, I've killed plant. The plants. I didn't kill the cat, but the cat's, you know, angry at me, you know, no.
I'm hissing all the time.
Yeah. It's like, why?
Mad cat. No, it's really true. And, you know, but with a clear rubric, you know, and I think with dating, we're taught so many things now. And thank goodness, I mean, we're even taught nutrition in high school, right? And we're taught, you know, my daughter took a class called MedChem, right? About, you know, the reward system. So there's so many things we're being taught at younger and younger ages. We're not yet being taught how to actually pick good people that are good for you, both in romantic relationships. I mean, people are, you know, middle schoolers are dating. Like, my nephew went to a bar mitzvah 2 weekends ago, and they were giving gift cards if you hugged someone of the opposite gender. And my nephew's like, gift cards? Yeah. So, and he's an introverted kid and not like, you know, the kid with all the game in seventh grade.
Oh my God.
But I'll tell you what, he was Hugapalooza because he could get gift cards, right? And so, and I was like, who's teaching these kids how to pick partners? I mean, my kids are 15 and 19, so they've grown up with red flags, green flags, GHQ, the whole system. And my daughter is a sophomore in a sorority. She's like, you got to come down here and speak because these people don't know what they're doing.
No, I didn't. I mean, thank God that I stumbled upon Alison Armstrong and did that work way back when, but I still didn't know. That didn't tell you anything about, okay, here's how to date. It was like nothing.
Nothing. You know? You're left with, my clients say, I feel like I'm in the Atlantic Ocean at midnight with no life vest on. Like, how do I do this? How do I actually pick a partner who will go the distance with me, right? Traditional right. Yenta type matchmakers will give you a date and then they're like, just put your contract on pause and that way I don't have to find you any more matches. It's like, no, we're with people through thick, through thin. I'm like, ask him these three questions. I mean, we're in the weeds looking at profiles. So you need someone, to your point, so you don't feel unmoored, like you're floating out in the Atlantic. So I don't think you'll ever be single again. But if you do, you've got a friend.
Yeah. So I don't even have to worry if that somehow happened.
Oh, absolutely. But you are amazing. Are there any last gems, JJ, that you want to drop on our dear listeners about aging powerfully or anything in your world?
Well, I actually think this is such a key, it's such a key area because, you know, how you do one thing is how you do everything, right? So I find so often with women that we tend to deprioritize our self-care. It gets on the last part of the list. But if you really want to attract that person who's healthy in their relationship and healthy in their life, you've got to be that person, right? You've got to be what you want to attract. So eat protein first. Here's the three things. Eat protein first, lift heavy things, sleep through the night. Those are the three very basic, massive needle movers for aging powerfully. Those three things. That's simple. Not easy, but simple.
And sleep through the night. And you guys, JJ said something early on in the episode that I want to loop back to really quick because I think this was a gem. She mentioned body composition. And for those of you who might be wondering how to get body composition, I'm sure you probably have more advanced techniques. One of my girlfriends told me to buy this scale, and I think it was $30 on Amazon from a company called Renfo.
Yeah, Renfo is amazing. And they also have a tape measure that's Bluetooth too. And they'll just, you can do it every single day. So you can take the trend over a week and it'll read into your phone. And it's a bioimpedance machine. So it's going to give you total body water. And that's how they predict your fat and your skeletal muscle mass. What you want to do is every 6 months, go get a DEXA body scan. We used to do that for bone density. Now they've done it so that you can also see your, it's called an appendicular lean mass index. It's your skeletal muscle mass. And it will tell you not just your body fat, but your visceral adipose tissue. Then you can correlate it to the home unit because the home units are not going to be as accurate, but it doesn't matter. You're looking for relative changes and you want to make sure that the changes are going in the right direction, right? So that's what you're doing at home. So one of the inexpensive scales, and I travel with those scales. Renfo has a little travel scale that literally is like half the size of a regular scale. So it's easy to travel.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Renfo
travel
scale.
Can you bring it with you?
I do. I travel with a scale. I travel with a food scale too. But and I Instacart stuff when I get places, so I make sure I have what I need because, you know, I don't want to feel like crap. And here's the thing, as you age, you know, you can't afford, your margin for error is not what it was in your 20s. I don't think I have to tell that to anybody. We all know that. So, you know, you can't afford to mess things up. The recovery is too hard.
And it takes a whole lot longer. It's easier to gain, harder to lose.
Yep. But when you really improve your metabolism by improving your body composition, it makes it pretty simple, honestly.
Oh my gosh. You are amazing. A unicorn, a rock star. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I am just blown away and so happy to know you. And smart daters, if you weren't inspired by this to eat protein, lift heavy things, and sleep through the night, and all of the other amazing things we talked about today, I think you need to re-listen to this episode. So I'm kidding. You know me. So get in there. Rate this episode if you like it. Share it with everybody on planet Earth because they need this. I wish you all the best. And until next week, I bid you farewell. And thank you again, JJ.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.